हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
So page 56. Okay, Sutra 1-15. Shuka Vishishta Bhidhanad Evacha. The person in the eye is the Lord because the description of the Lord, endowed with bliss at the beginning of the topic, should be applied to the latter description of the person in the eye. So we're getting used to this concept that actually logic is quite straightforward, it's quite easy. Right? It's not complicated. It means we make it complicated because we have this idea that complicated is actually better. But actually it's straightforward. So the Mayavadis make it very complicated. Right? And even though they claim to be very intelligent, you know, big intellectuals and scholars, the funny part is then they have, what is it called? Anirvachana? Anirvachaniya. Yeah, so it just means you can't... They just say it's transcendence beyond, so you can't describe it. Mm-hmm. In other words, all they're doing is making up for their shortcomings mm-hmm. that they can't actually describe, because that's the early part mm-hmm. of the Vedanta Sutras, that you can describe. Mm-hmm. It's not that the words can describe. The words can carry the power that can describe by the Lord's mercy. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, there is that ability to understand. Right? So then that's what then happens is that they just leave it because they can't understand, because they don't have the Lord's mercy. So then they make it all very complicated and everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here we see it's just the acharyas make, you know, the point is just very straightforward. Yes.
We see even with the devotees, not many are comfortable with the logical conversations they... Because logic's...
Yes.
And they are uncomfortable.
Yes, because basically most are going, I mean, ultimately, of course, it's always off the experience, you know, what effect is getting. But for some, as they can only, the only experience that they can deal with is that of the, is mental.
Yeah.
So how they feel, so it's a feeling what they're working on.
Right.
So it's not even that. Because we were describing it in the evolution of the sound, right? You have the conceptual, you know, and nod means it's all that could be described, right? Then you have a particular idea, you know, it means some kind of an effect that you want. Then there's the actual action to get it. Then there's the forms that will perform that. Then there is the word itself. Right? So we can see is that most people actually never get past the second stage. They just, there's a concept, a general idea that is there. So they actually don't get up to the point of what is to be done and what's that, because they don't know. So there's just this idea, and as long as that others can go on this idea, then it works. But if you say, what is it, or you try to name the point, they themselves haven't, so that's why they're uncomfortable. Or it's dealing with an attachment, or, you know, some identity, you know, something like that, some result that they're more aware of, and so they don't want to lose that, so they don't want to have the conversation. Yes.
So basically we can say that they weaken Sambandha and Prayojana.
I would say Abhideya also. I would say all three. Because, see, is that you have the concept is there, but it's very weak. It's not really clearly defined. So it's not exactly defined. Like we see here, the words are being exactly defined. When you're dealing with logic, that's the first thing they do is words are defined. Otherwise, you waste a lot of time arguing over word. When you're using one synonym, they're using another. And in your idea, you'd use that other one in a completely different way, and they have the likewise. But actually, you're saying exactly the same thing. So then definition of words is very clear. But then the problem is when you define the word, then you define actually what has to be done, what are the ingredients, what actually can be gained. So it kind of takes it off the, you know, the possibilities, you know, that kind of thing. So you will find that. So then it's just a matter of, it depends. If they're saying something that's not proper and that, then you have to get down. But, you know, you do it in such a way that it's pleasant. But if it's a matter of they're just not sure, then try to find kind of what they're looking for rather than... Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it just means it's a mood. So it's catch what the mood is and then try to work within that mood. Because if you just work with the logic... Since you're taking, the normal thing would be you're talking, they're talking, you say something, they take it, analyze it within their own capacity and their own situation. And then there would be discussions over that. You know, does it mean this? Does it mean that? Would it apply like this or that? Or does it give this result or that or like this? But for those who don't, it's just feelings, then you have to try to catch what their feeling is. And then within that, then discuss it, and then it will be. So in other words, you're doing the thinking for them within their own field. Then that'll work for them. But otherwise, if you're not, then you would be thinking outside their field, and that they can't relate to it.
So this is like a conversation with women.
Yes. Because the point is women... think like that because that's the mood, because this is about the mind, so it's understood. And the more one, how you say, appreciates that, then the more one can function properly, you know, in that context. But men will think differently if they've grown up with men. Because if they've grown up with women, they will think like women. Why? Because if they think like women, then they can, then, you know, things that they know how to be cute, they know how to impress their mother, they know how to do all these things and get all the benefits and be the center of attention. Like that? Does that make sense? So that's why then they'll be like that. But the problem is that women think like that, that's normal for them. So you can have the function of the logic and all that, but the other one, they only know how to think like that about themselves. So that's why it says that one has to be careful of the feminine nature, but more actually that you have to be careful. So it means it's dangerous. It means it's just like dealing with fire or dealing with a knife. It's dangerous, but it's a normal dangerous. But dealing with men attached to woman, that's more dangerous because you don't know where that's going to go because it's not actually normal. Right, women acting like women, that's what you're supposed to be. When men act like women, then it gets really weird. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just standard. So old world, Gurukul, certain different things, they have experience, it's understood like that. You know, old cultures where the men will go sit with the men, the women with the women, then you can get a difference. But if it's one of those, everybody's just together and everybody's all happy together, then you're going to have to basically deal with everybody. Even the most professional, on top of it, you know, successful guy, still you have to be careful in certain areas. You'll have to deal with them as a woman. Like that. You know, and if you deal and don't say anything, it'll work. But as soon as you point that out, then it's worse. You know. Yeah. Yes.
When we say that the discussion on philosophy should be based on Nyaya Shastra.
Yes.
And then discussion on what we just said now, what would that be?
Means you are thinking like that, but you move according to the mood that the person is responding. So you combine the two. Okay. So it's still, just like, let's say, Sukadev Goswami is talking something. A question's been asked, he's answering it, but then while he's discussing, then some other points come up, and those are points of interest. So then Pariksit Maharaj asked about those. So one is you're going to talk about those, but kind of in a way that they're connected with the original question, and in such a way that when they end, they still put you back at the original question. So that's why you see is it'll go out into other things, then it'll be back into, you know, it's just like what was it? Since when? Sixth canto? It's been about Manus? Fifth canto? Fourth canto? I think it's fourth, right?
Fourth.
Yeah, we've been on Manus. So it's always, you know, okay, these Manus, but we keep hearing this because that's actually the topic. When you mention about this Manu did this and there was this thing and the Lord did, oh, what did the, what, you know. So that natural movement, that's the mind. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of then how much you have to, what's the balance between the mind and intelligence? Does that make sense? So someone who is more thoughtful, more like that, they'll be, you know, you can, the balance will be more intelligence that. Someone who doesn't, it'll be less. And so that, in one sense, is going to be generic, means you have the generic, of course, the feminine will be a little bit more on the mind, the men a little bit more on the intellect. But as we discussed, depending on your background, your nature, everything like that, you might find women that are more logical than men. Like that, you know. So it's just a matter of what is, you know, the nature. So it's just a general thing as you're trying to catch the mood and then take it through in such a way that you logically get to that point. But at the same time as you address the changes in the kind of the flavor of what, how they're perceiving what you're saying. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's just standard for anything. It's just some will be a little easier, some will be a little more difficult. So, yes?
Just going back to your earlier point about the conversation being direct that we see. I mean, from my understanding, there's a lot of inference here. So, I mean, in some respects, you're seeing that something is being said, but it's being inferred to something else. Now, how is that understanding of inference in the pure state? Because we also do that. We say something, but we infer it to something else. So we may use it in another context.
But it's based on... The only way it becomes not clear, I mean, really not clear, is that the original point is not there. So if the original point's there, then see, you hear shabda, then from shabda you're going to get into inference. Right, and then from inference, and then you get to pratyaksha. The idea of inference is how to see what you've heard. Right, so inference is just the step between. So logic is how to use inference. Because shabda is, this is what it is. Pratyaksha is, this is what's seen. Right, so inference is how you bridge the two. You know, from, in other words, from knowledge to realization. That's what inference is for. So that's why you can call that position of inference, you can call it speculation. So when it's done in connection with Krishna consciousness, then we'll call it contemplation. When it's not in connection with Krishna consciousness, that's when we'll call it mental speculation, because its purpose is sense gratification. You know, or something other than the Lord. Right? When it's self-centered, we'll call it mental speculation. So that will apply to both the jnanis and the karmis. Though some karmis, I mean, everybody's going to speculate, but it's just a matter of they'll be more just reacting. So if someone's more thoughtful, then he'll speculate and then he'll act in karma. Right? But many don't. They're not so thoughtful. But in any case, you go to do something that doesn't work, then you think how to make it go. So you're speculating on what are the options. Then you choose. So now when that's based on Shastra, for the goal that Shastra recommends, then we just say that's the reasoning process.
The reason I asked this question is because something came up recently. I was with some very senior devotees in the UK, a couple of them were GBCs, and they were discussing Prabhupada's purports in Bhagavad Gita, and I was quite surprised at the comment that was made by a senior devotee. It was that Prabhupada was inferring to times when it's not, again, this inference that Prabhupada's statements are time bound.
Yes, no, but the thing is, you do have to understand, in one sense, you can say they are time bound. Time bound from when he wrote them for 10,000 years. That's the time frame. Right? Whenever you have a founder, they write for a particular time frame. So Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, Nimbarkavish, they write for a particular time frame. In the way of the mechanical application, it's for a particular time. Though the essence of what they're saying, that's eternal. But the particular thing, it is. So Prabhupada's is time bound, that is for 10,000 years. After that, then the mission won't work. Then it will go into your standard, 3 foot tall Kali Yuga, eat your neighbor, like that, that kind of thing.
Can't grow any hair.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the neighbors say, have you seen my kid? No, not at all. Sad, he was really nice. like that. Yeah, you understand. So, yes, it is time-bound for 10,000 years. But otherwise, if you can't see, it just means you haven't thought enough. You have to think more. So it's a common thing because that's what's being discussed. Oh, that's from there, so we can't do it. But what's the point? Just like Prabhupada mentions about the Mayavadis. Why are they trying to bring Vishnu down to the level of the Jiva? Like all these discussions. Because then they can be God. Because for them to be Brahman, they understand as they have to get. That's where the mental stretch is. But the Lord has a form, I have a form, he does activities, I do. Then you can make much more of a connection there that I can be God. Does that make sense? So that's the actual, motive behind it. So then all these others is that if we say, oh, it's time bound and all this, then what do we do? What are we doing? We're keeping, in one sense, we're minimizing on one place, that's here. But are they minimizing Prabhupada in his transcendental position? No. So what is that called?
Deifying.
So they deify Prabhupada. So then what does that mean? That means right now, right here, I have to make the decisions because what Prabhupada said doesn't apply. But the point is, unless you study, how will you know that that's what just happened? So it's very popular. Oh, it doesn't work. But we apply what Prabhupada says. We don't get a good result. Then it can't be us. It has to be Prabhupada. Like that. Right? Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established that there should be GBC and how to run things. So that was figured out back in the 20s. Or earlier. And it was running and working nicely. Then they deviated from that principle, and then all the preaching and everything falls apart. Right? Srila Prabhupada comes along, and it's, 30 years later, applies the same thing, it works like a charm. Right? Then devotees follow it nicely, it works great. Then they have difficulty, and say, oh, it doesn't work, and all this time, place, and circle. Then I remember when Russia started the yatra, they applied all the old things that they used to do, kirtan and gurus, stuff, all that archaic jazz. And the place blossomed. I even remember Rabindra Sarup Prabhu went there to study, what are they doing that is successful? And he came back and he says, I think we should announce the year of the guru. Gurus are back. Because if you have gurus, it works. It's like this and that. So it was just, it always works. It's eternal. So it's when we can't apply it, then we can't be the fools. So therefore we, but at the same time, Prabhupada has to be in his position because there follows the Prabhupada. So then the solution, the easy solution, I'm the controller and enjoyer, and Prabhupada's a deity. Right? He's transcendental, so he's so far beyond, he can't even deal with all this. Like that. So, That's the intent, is that then I'm in control. Just like the Maya bodies. It's the same thing. So us coming from that background of Nirvisheshanuvad, therefore if these things pop up now and again, don't be surprised. Like that, because all it is you continue the process and it goes away. Someone else is, you know, everybody has their different area where their attachment lies. And so you'll find in other areas where we might have attachment, they don't. You know what I'm saying? So that just happens to be their one. You know, so that will be generally amongst those who at least means they either are managed or considered, then this can be a weakness, right? Just like Buddhism was the weakness for the Kshatriyas, Jainism was the weakness for the Vaishyas, right? So then anything that puts us in control and puts Prabhupada kind of, and deifies Prabhupada, puts them beyond, that's a problem for managers, right? Because they want to be in control and do it how they see fit. So it's just, you know, everybody's got their problem.
Mayavad would be in Brahmas, the weakness?
Sorry?
Mayavad would be the weakness in the Brahmas? Buddhism and
Jainism? Yeah, I would say in that intellectual, but also it just pervades. Yeah. You could say it would be more up there. That's where it'll start. Because people have been talking these things for a while. And so then those who manage will catch that. Okay, so the point is that logic is quite simple and straightforward. We complicate it either because we like it complicated, or by keeping it complicated, then one doesn't see the simple truth, you know, that's right there and obvious. That. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. A few chapters prior to the current Vishaya, the Chandogya Upanishad describes the Lord as full of bliss. The discussion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that begins with these words continues through some paragraphs up to the paragraph under discussion. Chandogya Upanishad 4.15.1, which describes the person in the eye. For this reason, the person in the eye must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was discussing about the Supreme Lord before in one context, and it's been discussing up to now, so even though we're changing the wordings that are used, we're still talking about the same person. Right? Sri Govinda Bhashya. Prano brahmakam brahmakam brahma. The Lord is prana, the Lord is bliss, the Lord is ether. Chandogya Upanishad 4.10.5. This statement, which says that the Lord is endowed with complete bliss, occurs at the beginning of the topic. This should also refer to the person in the eye, who is described later. What is previously mentioned should be applied to the present topic. Though the topic of Agnividya comes between the description of the Lord of happiness and the description of the person in the eye, the intervening topic of Agnividya is actually a subtopic of Brahmavidya, which occurs previously to and after it. The word Vishishta, endowed with, indicates that the Lord is endowed with attributes like jnana as his very nature. Right? So it's not that jnana is there, because otherwise that's another of their philosophical points, you know, where because they have this whole problem with you have knowledge and you have avidya. So then to get any kind of form or shape or anything, whether you're getting, you know, the Ishwara, aspect of illusion, or you're getting the jivas, then the point is there's avidya there. But then the point they'll say is that with the Lord himself, he's naturally with vidya. But how can you be full with vidya and at the same time it be based on avidya? So it doesn't make sense what they're saying. But they're trying to keep in line with the Shastra that he has all this. But their point that they're making is that that means any knowledge technically is mundane. Right? So you can see it's very confusing. But, you know, that's how they like it. Because it covers up their motive that they want to be God. Yes?
What Agni Vidya, Brahma Vidya?
Brahma Vidya means about transcendence, about Brahman. Agni Vidya, then there's the thing about, you know, he's fire. Then we had the thing, you know, about Indra, you know, like this. So in between these two, then there was the discussion of him as fire. So there, he's saying is that it's the same topic. You're just seeing different attributes. Okay.
Is this what Prabhupada means by seeing something from all angles of vision?
Yes, yes. You're seeing from all angles, but then you're coming to the still the same conclusion. You're seeing Krishna from many angles. While on the material platform, the speculative platform, they will see many angles, but they're not connected to each other. Like modern science, people look at it as a you know, it's dealt with as if it's a homogeneous whole, that there's scientists and they're all, you know, buddy-buddy and all that. They hate each other. They think that all the others, except for themselves, are totally bogus. They don't know what they're talking about. They're uneducated. Their philosophies are complete nonsense. So there's no continuity in the thing, other than that they use their intellect and claim proprietorship over, you know, what they intellectualized.
There's also a huge amount of fear. I was speaking to a professor a couple of months ago, and there's a huge amount of fear that they're worried that if they don't stay relevant, they'll lose their seat.
Yeah, that's the thing. Publish or perish. You know? So for us, we just work with the, you know, how you say, the perish part, you know, where we just, you know, preach to the community, you know, it works a lot better. It's more sustainable. You know, like that. So
it's always a market.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just that's their thing. If you're not on top, so there's no absolute, because if you have to keep, if you did something and it's still there, like why are they still talking about Newton? When's the last time he published something? 17 what? You know? But he's still relevant. Right? So that means if it's actually truth, it's always relevant. This thing's, no, if you're not up to date, then, because they just value that they get in there, they worked, they came out with it, therefore they're the man. So it's all about being, right, hey, accredited and everything like that. So that's why Brahmins aren't worried about a seat. You know, they're independent. So this makes them, they themselves, even though they're independent, create this dependency. You know, like I remember I was talking with a devotee academic, and it came up that we were talking about something that's there, and I mentioned Svoboda, and he says, oh, within the academic community there, that nobody considers them, so he wouldn't even discuss it, even though they make relevant points because they're academics. And they somehow or another got involved in the Vedic system, and they liked the Vedic, you know, like that. I think Svoboda himself went to a 4-year Ayurvedic college where they only speak in Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. So all the lessons are Sanskrit, the tests are Sanskrit, everything's Sanskrit. You know, you want a sandwich, it's in Sanskrit. Like that. It's like that. So they have an affinity towards, you know, the Indian scene. But because of that, then they're sidelined, that they're not, you know, proper academics, because they've actually...
They're not objective.
Yeah, they're not objective anymore. They've actually come to conclusions, which is like you don't do. So it's, that's the whole difficulty. It's all about this position and any time you can lose. So that's the difficulty with the modern. There is no security. But with the Vedic, you have security because you actually know who you are, who everybody else is, and what's your relationship. And that doesn't change. That's why Dharma is there. It's inherent, so it doesn't change. That gives security. But this whole idea is that, no, depending upon the feelings and moods, you can change it at any time to fit the you know, the social, economic kind of position. Then how can anybody be secure? But there's this, by Maya's arrangement, you think, I'll be secure. Because if I can do what I want, then I can get what I want, so I'll be secure. But the problem is, if you do what you want, everybody else does what they want. And so therefore, even though you're doing what you want, they may be changing the whole environment by what they do. Like that, you know. I think it's all those, what is it? All those butterflies, right? You know, so that's the whole thing. So the Vedic, it's set. So maybe it limits what you can do, but it limits what everybody else can do also. So within that more limited, you function. Now you may think, oh, because it's limited, it won't be good. But anything we do is always limited. Right? You know, okay, do I wear the brown shoes or the black shoes? But is it an option to go barefoot? Could you imagine it, right? The limousine pulls up, the red carpet's there, all the guys with the camera, the guy gets out, you know, in it with no shoes on. Right?
Be different.
Yeah, I'm just saying it.
Gandhi.
Oh, like Gandhi, yeah. Well, if you also got out in the, you know, the dhoti and all that, then it would, you know. Yeah.
Sometimes some women have walked the red carpet without shoes on, and it was a, you know, really fashion statement.
Yeah, but I'm saying the women could do it, but if the men did it, that would just be... They're not supposed to do that. You know, the women can do stuff like... Men are supposed to be, you know... How you saying?
Conveyor belt.
Yeah. They're just the standard, you know, thing. Yeah. Okay, so a few have done it. So see, like that. It just turns everything upside down. So the point is you're always limited. Everything you do, it's limited. You know, go to a restaurant, it's limited. You can't order outside the menu. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you do, you drive on the street, you have your place. So, you know, it's like that. You want to park, it has to be in a parking place. So everything's always limited and controlled. But if we say it, oh no, it's just a matter of, it is, but we don't talk about it. It's like what Prabhu had mentioned before. It's that mental state. You don't talk, as long as you don't bring it up, nobody gets upset. But everything is limited. You know, and the funny part is those who are more liberal are the ones that are controlling it the most. And the ones that are supposedly more conservative are the ones that give more freedom. Right? So in other words, one is, these are the rules, it's your responsibility to follow it. And then the liberal is, we don't talk about the rules and we'll control you. So you don't feel that you're having to follow rules. Like that. So the point is, you have to follow rules. It's just a matter of, do you do it on your own with your own intelligence, or is it just, it's arranged so that that's the only way you can do it anyway? You understand? So the point is the Vedic then makes it so that everybody can get what they require according to their nature. You can't get what you want outside your nature. So that's what it seemingly the modern can give you. I can get beyond. But the point is, since it's not one's nature, it will never make you happy anyway. So that's why the Vedas don't recommend it. You know, Arjuna first came up with that. That was the first point. Now, we haven't even started the philosophical discussion. That's already his conclusion. Right? So then Krishna says no. So, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Bhagavatam verse. Okay, so here when it says Lord is endowed with attributes like jnana as his very nature, it's not that it's something that's imposed, because actually the Lord being there is an illusion, and then there's jnana is there. It's inherent to him. That's the whole point. These qualities are inherent to him. So he's real, and all these qualities and all that are real. Therefore, if we follow those in line with him, then we're also working in reality. So, Bhagavatam verse reference. The Lord of the eye is an ocean of bliss. The so-called pleasures of the material eye are only a slight reflection of that bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.39. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. Free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. Offering their minds unto you and enjoying transcendental bliss, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees, who never need return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? That was from where? Oh, 6.9.39. Okay. Sutra 1.2.16. Right, so here it's that he is an ocean of bliss. Those who have tasted it, they won't do anything else. Right? That's the Well, you're taking beyond. He is the ocean of bliss. Those who have tasted even a drop of that, then they'll absorb themselves there. They're not interested in everyone, anything else. And they become actually the friend of all living entities. So they come to the transcendental position. Yeah. Okay, Sutra 1-16. Sutra pani shakta satka gat yabi tanach cha. Shuta, heard. Upanishakta, Upanishad. Gati, destination. Abhidanat, because of the description. Cha, also. The person in the eye is Paramatma because other descriptions which indicate that the person who hears the Upanishads attains the Lord. Sutra Prakashika. Vyasa in this sutra explains logically why the person in the eye is the Lord. One who hears and understands the Upanishads travels to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also mentioned that one who knows the person in the eye attains the realm of light and liberation. Because these two persons attain the same destination, it must be understood that the person in the eye is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? Because the Lord is transcendental. By following the Upanishads, you become transcendental. So that Lord in the eye that they talk about must be the original Lord. Right? So that's you know how logic works. You know, A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C, yes.
Why do you make the difference between Paramatma and the Supreme Lord is at
the same? But before, as in the discussion, they were saying that Paramatma is the Jivas. So they were trying to avoid the transcendental. Sri Govinda Bhashya. In another Shruti, it says that one who knows the Upanishads and understands their meaning attains the Lord in the spiritual realm. Upakoshala Muni says, Archisham Abhisham Bhavanti. Persons who know the person in the eye go by the path of light and attain liberation. Chandogya Upanishad 4.15.1. The person in the eye must therefore be the Lord in the spiritual realm. Because we've established he's transcendental, and by studying Upanishads you attain that transcendental position, that person, so they must be the same. So if that's the case, then the Lord in the eye has to mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So it's just different angles he's showing the same thing, because they have so many different arguments from so many different... Right? Does that make sense? You talk about the green bird and the green tree and point out there is a green bird and there is a green tree. It's still two. Then they'll go about, oh, the river is merging into the ocean. You know, so they just keep changing like that. So like that, then all these different different approaches are there. Bhagavatam verse reference. The person in the eye is the Supreme Lord, whose own eye is the sun. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:5-36. Right, his own eye is the sun, and it's the Narayan within the sun that they're talking about. So that Narayan within the sun and the Supreme Lord are the same, and not only that, the sun is his eye. Right, how he sees. Yeah. 8:5-36. The sun god marks the path of liberation, which is called Archiradhi Vartma. He is the chief source of understanding the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is the source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. But eternal life, because the sun. You know, makes things work. Light then illuminates, gives life to the soul, to the intellect, to the mind. But also is death, because time is marked by the sun. Right. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. Footnote 34. Prabhupada explains further. The sun is actually the eye of the Lord. In the Vedic mantras is said that unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees, no one can see. Unless there is sunlight, no living entity on any planet can see. Therefore, the sun is considered to be the eye of the Supreme Lord. Because when he sees, everybody sees. Therefore, you can only see when the sun's there. That means then the sun must be the eye's Lord. Lord's eye. Yes. It is also the eyes, Lord. We're taking it back one step further. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam 8.5.36, purport. 5.20.46. All living entities, including demigods, human beings, animals, birds, insects, reptiles, creepers, and trees, depend upon the heat and light given by the sun god from the sun planet. Furthermore, it is because of the sun's presence that all living entities can see, and therefore he's called Drig Ishwara, the personality of Godhead presiding over sight. Right, so Drig Ishwara, so that's the point. He presides over sight because he sees, we can see. Right? So, in other words, from this we never have to worry that the sun's going to go out. Right? It's one of the things that modern scientists sit around and keep themselves up at night, even though it may happen millions of years from now. You know, as it's really important to them. You know, so yeah. So it's not happening. Sutta 1-17. Anavasti ter asambhavach cha netaraha. Anavasti tehe, because the abode is not eternal. Asambhavat, because of being impossible. Cha and na, not itaraha, anyone else. The person in the eye is not a reflection, prana or the jiva, because none of these reside permanently in the eye. And none have the qualities mentioned in the verse that describes that person. Sutra Prakashika. The sutra card defeats the proposition that the person in the eye could be anyone or anything besides the Supreme Lord. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains there always. The other candidates reside there temporarily and fail to match the description of the person's qualities like immortality. Right? Because they're trying to say they're immortal by... So then they'll... They in their idea... put it back. But the point is we're going by the form and all that, then that's we're talking about the complete aspect. Right? Because not Sri Govinda Bhasya. It is not possible that the person in the eye is a reflection of the jiva. This is prana. It's not possible that the person in the eye is a reflection of the jiva. Is the prana or is the jiva? Because none of these permanently reside in the eye, anavasti tehe, right? Because these things will move from the eye. You see something and it moves. But the Lord is always residing there, the immortality. So the prana is not always there. So that means the Lord is the one that's always there. And because all of them lack qualities, asambhavat, like unconditioned immortality, which are present in the person in the eye, therefore the person in the eye is paramatma. Right, unconditioned, because we say Indra is immortal, right? As you know, until the end of the Manvantara, then he quickly becomes less immortal.
We are immortal until we die.
But amongst ourselves, we will say we're not. But let's say amongst bacteria, we are immortal. You know, so that's the. Unless they get there first. Yeah. Okay, yes.
It's not related, but when there's a saying that the Vedas should not be taught to Shudra or
right.
women,
right.
is it because of this technical stuff or only because of the mantras?
The Veda, when it's talking about, it's not that the knowledge, in other words, the Paravidya anybody can learn because you're dealing with the platform of the soul.
So Upanishads,
any of the things. So what you're talking about is learning the mantras themselves, because the tendency is one will adjust them to what sounds nice. You know, just like how you say, there was that. The devotees did a recording of Bhaja Hare Mana, right? Because they thought it would sound better if you say Bhaja Mana Hu Hey, like that. You know, then it changed. So you do it in classical, it's not proper, but you do it in the Vedic, it totally changes the meaning. So you're not dealing with the Veda anymore. So that's right. Only the Supreme Lord could be the person within the eye, who is the basic principle of existence and alone remains after negating matter and its qualities.
What's the connection here? If the Supreme Lord could be the person within the eye, then he would be the principle, basic principles of existence, because we cannot see because of the previous.
Yes, it means, in other words, you're building on previous. So that's what you made in the last one, is because the attributes are going, so that means we're accounting all of them. So even though we're discussing a specific point now, there's the overall. So in this, you have a, what do you call it? The Adhikarana. So within it, you have different aspects depending on how many doubts there are. If there's just one thing, you give the one. But if there's many, then there may be many sutras describing. Yeah? So it's, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 6938. With deliberation, one will see that the Supreme Soul, although manifested in different ways, is actually the basic principle of everything. The total material energy is the cause of material manifestation. But the material energy is caused by him. Therefore, he is the cause of all causes, the manifester of intelligence and the senses. He is perceived as the supersoul of everything. Without him, everything would be dead. You, as that supersoul, the supreme controller, are the only one remaining. Because when you negate everything, then all you're going to have left is him. Because everything's based on him. So, for us, we don't need to negate, because we see it connected to him. So, all that's negated is what is not of use in service to him. Because everything being him, yes, everything can be connected, but then the point comes is that if what you're connecting is not of importance for you to engage in the Lord's service according to his desire, therefore it's not used. Right? Does that make sense? Because negation means that you're moving towards detachment. That's the idea. So, as long as there's attachment, one may be engaging something, and seeing it connected to the Lord, that will bring about advancement. But as soon as one comes to the point where there's no attachment to that particular thing, if it was recommended, then you continue doing it. But if it wasn't recommended, it was just a matter of we are attached to it, so we're dealing with it, then at that point, then it's given up. Right? Does that make sense? So for us, then that is not part of the Lord. Right? Means it's the Lord, but it's not our part with him as a person. As Brahman, as Paramatma, yes, he's pervading it, it is the Lord. But as far as him as a person, then we don't see it that way, because it's not going to be pleasing to him anymore. Right? Does that make sense? Because the only reason we dealt with it was because of attachment. Yes?
So this is the establishment of the individual relationship, that everyone's relationship is different. So
yes. Everybody's, what you have, everyone's ultimate relationship is unique, but also everyone's conditioned position is unique. But it falls into general categories, because you're dealing with, the same modes of nature. So it's just a matter of what's the exact proportion, but it's going to be within the same category. Yeah. Adhikarana 5, the Antaryami. Antaryami Adhikaranam. Sutra reference 1:2, 18-20. Adhikarana Prakashika. Adhikarana 5 establishes that the Antaryami, the ruler within, is the Supreme Lord, and not, as some claim, the Pradhan or a Jiva. Right? So again, all they've done is everything that's connected to the Lord, they've either given it an external meaning, with some aspect of Shankhya, something connected with the universe, either as a principle, that mean either metaphysical or physical, or they relate it to the jiva, right? Because they're saying themselves are ultimate. So therefore, then, it works nicely there. So by dealing with the metaphysical or the physical, that's how you deal here. And then ultimately it'll get to there, and so it's us anyway, so we can all sit around and pat each other on the back.
Beautiful.
Yes.
It's very similar to the modern scientist approach. Anything but the Lord. Just try any option.
Yes. Even though all those options are totally unviable by science, and you'd have to be totally subjective to go with them, but... Yeah.
And they will even cite Ockham's razor, saying that the simplest solution is usually the one we should go with, because otherwise you're inferring unnecessary things. But then they do anything but that.
But the guy believed in God. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the irony of it. They're doing exactly the opposite of what you're saying.
Well, you keep it simple, just whatever we feel.
Okay. Yeah.
It's simple,
didn't
straightforward.
See it like that.
Yeah, yeah. Have to make any adjustments.
You know, it's complicated when you add the supreme into it. Then there's
then
you know
you have
then
to adjust.
You have to consider
reality. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you call it? Akrams.
Akrams razor.
Akrams razor.
Razor. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said racer.
Racer.
What kind of racer?
Maybe he's that one jiva.
Akram.
Yeah, Akram may be that one jiva.
Akram Raja.
Yeah.
That would bring it to Vedic Upper Sampradaya.
Yes, yes, bring it to the Vedic. Yeah, it seems that, yeah, that one jiva, well, it seems we come across it later, I think it's in the second or third adhyaya.
It should be connected to Sankhya.
Huh?
Should be connected to
Sankhya. Something that comes later. Then that you have so this is something that came later. I think it's the last of all the Mayavad philosophies. Because originally then Shankaracharya, then that would be closer to, you know, what was before. Then as Madhva then defeated it so badly, then they come up with it's all illusion, because they're saying, you know, Brahma Parinamavad, you know, that Brahman is transforming, and so everybody's happy with that, until Madhvacharya came along, and then completely trounced it, so then they couldn't actually stand on it, so that's when they came up with the illusion,
Vivarta,
like that, and then when that got trounced, I forget who trounced that, then they came up with the one jiva. Mm-hmm. You know, so they just keep coming up like that. You know. So that's when it's, you have that, and you have that. We were talking about how the Lord is there, and that He's the topmost of goodness, and all that. So then, what their point is that He's the one jiva, and then they're using, because it's been so nicely established about how the creation, primary, secondary, and all the Puranic elements are there. They have to use those. So they incorporate it that basically Mahavishnu is the one jiva. And then from him comes all the creation of everyone else, and it's all an illusion. So if that's the case, why are we even bothering? Because it seems like the most... So, in other words, we don't exist. Right? In the Brahma Parinamavad, we exist because the jiva is real, the Brahman is real, the Supreme is real. The problem is there's a separation between us and Brahman, like the sky and the pot. The sky is real outside the pot. The sky in the pot's real, but there's the pot separating. So you break the pot, then it all becomes... That's the original. You understand? But then it comes down to, we don't even exist. So you can see is that actually they're going backwards. They're going back. That's straight Buddhism. Like that. So Shankara, he brought it Buddhist and brought it forward a touch. But then as it gets defeated, then his followers, they regress back into Buddhism. You know, so yeah. It's not a good program.
Some zombie doctrine.
Yes, yes.
That's why we don't exist.
Yeah, we don't exist. So, but we're moving, yes. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Zombie bod.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a derivative of one jiva.
Hmm?
Would be the derivative of one jiva.
Derivative?
Like the
derivative, yes, yes. This is the dream of all one. So that would be... Yeah, no, it's pretty wild. Yes.
If the Buddhists say there's no soul and atma, then how do they explain consciousness?
They'll come up with different things depending upon, from what I understand, where there's north or south. So north, you know, it's like the Tibetan and that, then the more there's deities and there's personalities and there's more of a thing happening. While in south, I think they follow, what was his name?
Okram.
You know, keep it simple. Just, you know, there's nothing, go out begging, get something, eat it, haribol. You know, like that. So there, it's all illusion anyway. So exactly how they get to that, I'm not sure. But it just, you know.
And the explanation would be illusion anyway.
Yeah, the explanation would be illusion anyway, so why even bother? That's why just take your bowl, go out and get something to eat. Okay. Is that... Okay. Yeah, he's the only one remaining, but he is there, but he's the only one remaining because everything else will be destroyed. It'll all be go absorbed back in him. But at the same time as being absorbed, we're still individuals. That's the thing, is that Achinta Bheda Veda Tattva, is that all these things that everybody's saying, they're all based on some aspect of the absolute truth, but they try to make that one something the total thing. You know, it's just like, let's say in the meal, there's some salt on your plate. So one philosophy is, it's the salt is the total package. You know, because, you know, the body, it's made of salts and all that, and the combination, you know, if you get sick, you adjust the salts, and then they'll get rid of disease. So it's all about salt. Right? You know, you could come up with a philosophy like that.
Yeah. And only at the expense of personal growth. Always at the expense of personal growth. We always try to keep away the personality of God.
Yes. So, yes. And so, yeah, so they'll avoid the meal. Yes. Yes.
Actually, it's all about sugar.
All about?
Sugar.
I like this guy.
Body is running on sugar.
Yes. True. Yeah, where'd the salt come from?
That's yeah. Blasphemy.
Yes, yes. All about sugar. Okay. Summary of Adhikarana 5. Vishaya, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.18 says, he who stays in the earth, who is within, whom the earth does not know, who is the ultimate proprietor of the earth and the body, and who, residing within, rules the earth, is the immortal supersoul, the supreme personality of Godhead, who resides in the heart. So that was Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Shamshaya. In this verse is the ruler who lives within the earth and the other places, Pradhan, the Jiva, or the supreme personality of Godhead. Right, so even though it said it was the immortal supersoul and all that, they still have a doubt because they're trying to connect the supersoul and all that to basically themselves. Right? Either something that's illusion or to themselves. You know, which is also illusion, but at least they're an illusion worth talking about, right? Okay, Purva Paksha. The ruler within may be Pradhan because Pradhan resides within. The cause is always woven into the effect. Because right? Anything, you always have that's one of the rules, is that when you have an effect, it has aspects of the cause in it. Right? So therefore, we say the body is there as an effect. So within that is Pradhan. So it's the cause, the effect is the body. So all the earth, water, fire, air, ether, all the different, the 24 elements, those are all coming from Pradhan. So Pradhan is within, and then the effect is, so they can, that's their point, right? But what they, yeah. The cause is the controller of the effect. Because Pradhan is the cause of earth, Pradhan must therefore be the controller within the earth also. Because it gives happiness, the Pradhan may be figuratively called Atma, the great self. Or because it is all-pervading, it may be figuratively called Atma, the great self. Because it is eternal, it may also be called Amrita, eternal. In this way, the ruler within must be either the Pradhan or a Jiva. Right? Siddhanta, the conclusion follows. Anta yam yadi daiva dishu tad dharma vyavas. Vyapa deshat. The ruler who resides within the elements is the supreme personality of Godhead, because his qualities are described in this passage. Right? They're taking each one as separate, and so then they're only counting the words within the particular passage itself. They're not taking the run of verses and what they're describing. Right? Sutra 1-18. Anta yam yadi dhaiva dishu. Tad dharma vyapare shat. Antayami, the ruler within. Adidaiva, the elements. Adishu, beginning with. Tat, of him. Dharma, the nature. Vyapare shat, because of the description. The Antayami is the Lord because the qualities mentioned in the passage are suitable to the Lord. Sutra Pakashika. Vyasa explains that besides the Supreme Person, no one else can be considered the Antayami. Why? Because only he matches all aspects of the description. being situated within the earth and all other material elements, being unknowable, being the supreme controller, and being all-pervading, all-knowing, all-blissful, and eternal. Right? So all those then apply to him only. Right? Others onto a limited degree. It means within what you see is manifest, you can say Pradhan is all-pervading. But Pradhan's not all-pervading outside of the Mahatattva. Right? So, yeah. Sri Govinda Bhasha, Vishaya. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.18 says, he who resides in the earth, he whom the earth does not know, he whose body is the earth, and who, dwelling within, rules the earth, is the eternal Atma within. Shamshaya, the doubt is this. Is the controller situated within the earth, Pradhan Prakriti, the Jiva, or the Lord? Purvapaksha, it is Pradhan because Pradhan dwells in the earth and conforms to the other characteristics mentioned. The cause is necessarily connected with the effect. The cause is thus the controller of the effect. Thus Pradhan is the controller of the earth. The Pradhan may, that was the second point, right? Pradhan may be called the Atma figuratively because it gives pleasure like the self. It is universally present, or because it is eternal, Pradhan may be called Amrita. The person dwelling in the earth may also be some yogi who is a jiva. Through yoga, by the power of entering everything, a jiva can become a controller, and by his power of being invisible, he can become invisible. Earth does not know him. Being a jiva, he is naturally called Atman, eternal. Thus, the person dwelling in the earth is either Pradhan or a jiva. Siddhanta. Antaryami. Antaryam yadidhai va dishu tad dharma vyapare shat. The Antaryami is the Lord because the qualities mentioned in the passions are suitable to the Lord. He was known in the scripture quoted above as Antaryami is the Supreme Lord. Why? Because the qualities mentioned there, such as dwelling within everything like earth, being unknown, being the controller, being all-pervading, being a knower, being filled with bliss and being immortal, belong to the Lord. So the Upanishads all throughout are describing these qualities in connection with the Lord. Right? So why is it now we interpret it as Brahman? I mean as Pradhan. Especially in Upanishads. Right? Because as a goal, as an ultimate, why would Pradhan be the ultimate? Right? It'd have to be the Lord. Because if you're talking about Brahman and merging into Brahman, then why would Pradhan be given these same attributes?
That's what Brahman is made of.
That would be the illusory aspect, because Pradhan technically also is an illusion.
If everything is illusion.
Yes, but Brahman's not supposed to be illusion, so why would you attribute here, other than we're giving good qualities? So we're not attributing qualities to the Supreme, though at the same time as we're basing our understanding of the Supreme on certain qualities. Right? Unchangeable, you know, unlimited, like this. So then the difficulty comes is that we can't say that's Supreme. Right? So because ultimately that it has to come from Brahman, but at the same time as how that happens, they can't explain. You know, that's the what do we hear? Anirvachaniya? That's Anirvachaniya. They can't explain it. We can explain it, but they can't explain it. Because by following our explanation, then you establish that the Supreme Lord is God and is always going to be that way. And we're jiva and we're always going to be that way. And that's not a conclusion they want.
Do they define the difference between Pradhan and Brahman?
That would come when you have somehow another, however avidya somehow another
okay,
transforms
so
Brahman.
Okay, so
but how
Brahman
that happens, they don't
avidya.
Know.
No.
So and so then that avidya, then you get all these manifestations, and within that, then you have all these qualities that we'll say. Mm-hmm. So we talk about Amrita, we talk about vidya, we talk about all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Then those are attributed to these even though they're an illusion. So that also doesn't make sense. Why we say it's illusion and then say it has all these good qualities. Or it's not, it's avidya, but then it's vidya. So that's they just, when you get up to that point. In other words, everything before that they didn't explain nicely because you're dealing with the Shankya aspect.
Sure.
But once they get to that point, That's when it becomes suddenly, conveniently anirvachaniya. Is that it's undescribable. So how it's trans, how can you say? But the thing is, if it's an illusion, then why can't illusion describe illusion?
Yeah.
You know. So the thing is, you know, then it has to go beyond. So then how do they even know? Because they've only heard it through words. So then, you know, that's the difficulty. So at that point, they just conveniently kind of pull back. Well, what can we do?
Could they say that as we progress, it will become clear? Is that sometimes something we do?
It seems that they must have some feeling in all that. Otherwise, how are they describing it? But technically, one just has to come to that transcendental platform. But if one actually comes to the Brahman platform, then he understands Brahman, and so he understands it's all real.
Yes.
That's what we're saying. The original, then the jiva is real, and Brahman is real. But as you progress, then except for Brahman, nothing's real. So it becomes even more difficult to explain. So that's why it's just they're attached. That's all. That was the point Lord Chaitanya was making, is that even though this flood of love of God is coming, then all these Pashandis, they're floating. Why? Because of their attachment to their... You know, they're not drowning in the ocean of nectar, right? They're floating on top. You know? So, how to catch them?
Yeah.
So through you know, proper logic, establishing devotional service, through attracting to, the niceness of devotional service, using that intellectual platform. That's been done by the Ramanuja and Madhva. Those who are left, then that's just you just. Flood them with, you know, the overwhelming just, you know, devotional process, then eventually they, you know.
Will break.
Yes, it eventually works.
Why would anybody want to be done?
Yeah. Good
That's
question.
Because then you're the boss.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think there's when it's so obvious we're not, why would anybody want it?
It comes from when there's attachment, and when there's frustration and attachment, then you want to control, right? So the envy comes up. So you're envious of God, envious of other living entities. Just yourself is important. You want to control. When that doesn't work, then you become angry. That's Buddhism. So as we're saying, is as they're getting frustrated in their envy, then they're going back to anger. You know, we're saying that these Buddhists. Like that. I think there's, I'm not sure, I remember a long time ago, someone telling this story, I think Prabhupada may have told this story. I'm not sure where it is, something. That there's this one jiva and all that, and he's talking to the Lord, and somehow or another he wants to be, you know, supreme or something like this. And so then, you know, the Lord says, okay. And then he gives him that conscious, you know, I think he wanted to know everything, or this is somehow or another beyond it. So he says, okay. Then he made him aware of the unlimited living entities in the cosmos, who are all turning to him and give me this and give me that, and why did this happen to me, and why did that, and like that, and just like that, and say, okay, I'm okay. You do your thing, I'll be happy, just like this. Yeah, so if you look at it that way, yes, why would anyone want to be God? Right?
Yeah, Madhumangal tried that.
Madhumangal tried that.
During the Keshi demon pastime, he wanted to carry Krishna's flute and Krishna's
peacock feather.
Peacock feather. Oh, okay.
His peacock feather.
Okay.
So Keshi was instructed that when we go into Vrindavan, how will I know which one is Krishna? He said if we were carrying a flute, we'd have a peacock feather.
Okay. Okay, so if he has flutes with no peacock feather, peacock feather and no flute, then he's not the one. Because cows might have peacock feathers. Or
so then all of a sudden, Madhumangala very quickly gave Krishna back his...
Okay. 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 Well, that works. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are advantages, you know, to staying to one's own dharma, not doing another's. Right? So I guess that's another meaning to perform your own duties and not that. So the scientists would be happier if they would perform their own duties and give up trying to be the supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavatam verse reference. The Supreme Lord is referred to unambiguously as Antaryami throughout the Vedic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:28. The inhabitants of Shakadweep worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vayu in the following words. O Supreme Person, situated as the Supersoul within the body, you direct the various actions of the different airs, such as prana, and thus you maintain all living entities. O Lord, O Supersoul of everyone, Antayamishvara, O Control of the Cosmic Manifestation, under whom everything exists, may you protect us from all dangers. Footnote 35. Srila Prabhupada adds, pranayama is the means to attain samadhi, trance, in order to fully absorb oneself in seeing the Supreme Lord as Antayami, the Supersoul within the core of the heart. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:20-28 purport. Right, so you direct the various actions of the different air, such as prana, and thus you maintain. So it's through that, the connection with the prana, that then they come to the point of, they can control the life airs, come to the point of samadhi. So same with us. If we engage all our activities in the Lord's service, then we come to the point of being able to always absorb ourselves in the Lord. Right. So they're stopping the prana, we're engaging the prana. So either way, it's control. But by engaging in positive activities, that's always easier than stopping breathing altogether.
Right? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.